That's right. Each week we're joined by our regular correspondent from the land of the free and the home of the brave, our big brother nation, the United States of America. And this week we're talking again about Donald Trump, the newly minted president of the United States of America. It's in his second week and he shows no signs of slowing down, whether that comes to hard work or whether it comes to controversy. Ed joins me in the studio right now. Ed, good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
Yeah, mate, very well. It has been another absolute bumper week for Trump and Trumpisms. What have we got? What's been some of the latest issues? Unpack us for it a little.
Well, it depends on where you want to start, mate. I mean, the acting attorney general of the United States is sacked.
Mm-hmm.
For not carrying out his orders. But one of the constitutional responsibilities of an attorney general or any other appointee is to guard the Constitution of the United States. And it doesn't come in a higher position than the attorney general. So he sacks the attorney general for asking questions about whether these actions are within the realm of the Constitution. That's hitting pretty low.
Mm.
Now, in response to that, and I think going on before that, as we've talked about off air, are his appointees.
Yeah, some of these cabinet appointments have been, well, a little bit controversial. Trump came in on this this idea that he was going to drain the swamp, and yet the cabinet appointees are largely billionaires who seem to be, well, worth quite a bit of money to the Republicans and to Trump personally.
Well, but more than that, they don't seem to know what their jobs are.
Mm.
When you go into these hearings, and I've been through this process, not as a person who was being appointed, but a briefing someone who was going to the hearings, you're briefed on your constitutional responsibilities, the things that you're supposed to, what's gone in the job before, and what you're going to do about them. And we have a Secretary of Education who barely knows what education is about. We have a person going for housing and urban development who's never done anything about housing or urban development. And what's his response? I don't know anything about this. So where are we going here? Now, I do have some sympathy for the potential Attorney General Sessions.
Mm-hmm.
I don't agree with some of his leanings, but he's certainly a capable person. And so, you know, I guess even a blind man hits the target every once in a while.
Let's just talk about the cabinet for a moment in terms of some of Trump's pick for the cabinets. The Democrats have been crying foul as much as anybody about these picks, and yet they only need, what, 51 votes to actually get in, and there's 52 Republicans in the Senate. So are the Democrats just going to have to grin and bear it as far as these picks go?
Well, the as you know, like Hansard, what you put on the record sooner or later comes back to either help you or bite you. So what the Democrats are doing is putting this all on the record. The Republicans did the same thing. So this is just payback time.
Mm.
And I think the unfortunate thing is the Democratic appointees actually were qualified. So what goes on the record this time is very different. I think what the Democrats are doing is using the Republican tricks, but they're using them one step higher. They're building a record about this administration that at some point may topple over.
Mm. Something they can point to at the next election and say,
or maybe before that.
Before that as well.
At the impeachment.
Yeah, the impeachment trials. Point at this and say, this is, you guys were doing this. You guys were all implementing these things that that Trump wanted.
Well, this is what got Nixon.
Mm-hmm.
He was consistent. And by being consistent, he couldn't say he didn't know about Watergate, because one of the consistent things about him is he knew everything about everything that was going on around him. So who knows? Now, Mr. Trump hasn't paid his taxes, to the best of my knowledge. And would the American people say, let's not pay up until he pays up?
Mm. Mm. Well, that certainly seems fair. Looking abroad for a moment, or looking at some of the foreign relations, but staying abroad for a moment, the British government, they've invited Trump over for a state visit. This is, a very high honour for a lot of visiting dignitaries. And yet it seems to be putting, Well, the British government and Trump in a bit of an awkward spot. Prince Charles been very, very critical of Trump's latest immigration ban on refugees from these seven countries that's been making so many headlines. The Queen hasn't commented on it publicly, but a lot of the British people are commenting it via a petition. They don't want Trump there. So what do we see happening in some of the foreign relations?
Well, clearly the Brits need friends. Brexit is not going to be a free pass. It's not like playing Monopoly where you get a free go. When they go past that Brexit line, all of a sudden, if they don't have the Americans on side, they don't have an economy. So for Theresa May, it's important to get on the right side of Mr. Trump. But the opposition to Trump in her own party and in the leading Labour Party against her is pretty heavy. 1.5 million people have signed this petition already. The streets will probably be lined, but not with cheering people, but maybe with jeering people. And the Commons has a bill before it not to allow him to address or even enter Whitehall.
Now, here at home, talking of foreign relations, here at home, there's just been some sort of breaking news yesterday regarding Malcolm Turnbull and Donald Trump's conversation, which the two were sort of coming out originally and saying was, you know, a conversation which indicated the strong bonds that already exist between Australia and America, and they were going to continue under the Trump administration. Now it's looking a little bit more like Turnbull was, well, raked a bit over the coals, especially in regards to this asylum seeker deal, the offloading of, I think, 1,250 asylum seekers into the United States made under the Obama administration. Trump now calling this the worst, the worst deal ever. That's Trump's own words on this one, apparently. So what do you make of the relationship between the United States and Australia right now?
Well, I don't make anything of that. I think here's a situation where our prime minister was in a very difficult situation. Mm-hmm. He had to deliver this deal that he made with Obama. He probably thought Mr. Trump would say yes or no. But a yes that leads to this kind of outrageous behavior is very difficult for a prime minister to take, and certainly he can't go out in public and say this is what happened. Mm. But now that it's out in the open, it puts our prime minister in a very difficult position, and I think it puts us in a very difficult position with future relationships with the United States.
Well, I think just the uncertainty puts us in a great deal of a difficult position with the United States, because it seemed like Trump was very much approaching this as a businessman. This is the worst deal ever, because he couldn't see America directly getting anything out of this deal, as if it's sort of a back and forth deal. You take these refugees and we'll give you such and such, when that wasn't obviously the case. So he's still approaching this as a businessman, and this seems to be a business tactic. Oh, look, this is a really bad deal. Oh, I don't really know if I want to do this right now, and seeing if we somehow come back with a better offer.
There's something called state-to-state relationships, what they call it, pay forward.
Mm-hmm.
You do something for nation X ahead of time, and when the time gets tough, they do something for you. So this was a down payment for Australia and America for future relationships. And those future relationships may come to bear either in the South China Seas or in some trade activities between the nations. You can't be a president of the United States and think you're doing a deal a day.
Mm.
These are long-term relationships. Now, he may erode and corrode and destroy a lot of them, but when you do that, you pay a price.
Pushing away allies like that, are some of the other Republicans going to be getting a little bit nervous?
I think they are already. Several of the leaders, Lindsey Graham and McCain, have already come out and said they're a little bit nervous about this. They're posturing for some future action. God only knows what it is. You know, it only takes two of them to vote against any one of these nominees, and the nominee is sunk. So they have a hold card here. There'll be three or four senators who will not play along. And if they don't play along, he doesn't have both houses.
And back on American soil, demonstrations, they still seem to be going on. You mentioned there if Trump visits the UK, we're likely to see the streets lined with protesters sort of jeering at Trump, and those are going to be the UK citizens. But at home in America, he's not looking too popular at the moment either. If you look at all the footage that comes out of all these demonstrations, all the criticism that is being leveled his way.
Well, clearly this will not last. People can only be out in the streets for so long, and so many causes can be fought that way. I think the demonstrations will turn into voting rallies. The members of Congress are up for election in 2 years. So for the Democrats, these demonstrators are future poll workers, people who will go out on the street, drop leaflets, etc., sit in your living room and the like. So I think the demonstrations are going to change. The other thing I think that's going to change is there are going to be more strategic demonstrations. And these will usually be in Washington, New York, the big cities, not the scattered stuff that we see, pinpointing a member of Congress or two members of Congress whose seats are in jeopardy.
So are you likely to see it get worse before it gets better?
I'm going to see, and we're going to see, it get worse and worse and worse and worse and worse. There ain't going to be any better.
Well, Ed, thank you very much. We live in interesting times. Isn't that the old, that's the old curse?
Yes, I believe a Chinese proverb.
Ed, thank you very much, mate. We'll be speaking again next week. Plenty to talk about.
Take care, mate.